It is something that is just universal. We all ask this question, don't we? We want to know why. Now, I remember one time I was a probation officer, and I had a young man come in. He was about 26 years old. He was on his third DUI. We were talking, and I asked him one day, I said, okay, fast forward. Like, what do you think 10 years from now that you'll be doing? I don't know. I go, okay, that might be too far. What do you think 5 years from now? I don't know. I go, okay, besides sucking air for the next 12 months, he's like, I don't know. Now, I would love to tell you that I have some great ending story for this, but I'll be completely honest with you. I spent the next year and a half working with this guy, walking him through programs, talking with him, working with his interpersonal relationship with his wife. And when I left that job, he was doing better. But that has haunted me for all of these years, because when I sat in that office and I asked him, I was like, what is it you want to do? You're no longer a child. You are of the age of an adult. You're married to a woman who has children. You're responsible for them. Can you think beyond this moment, this weekend? What is your purpose? Now, there are others of us who know people that they start off very young, and they knew exactly when they were in grade school what they were going to grow up and be. Do you guys have friends like that? They kind of got on your nerves, didn't they? I mean, just the type A, straight A, do everything perfect kids. The ones that your mom says to you, why can't you be like? Oh. Maybe you're like me and you're wandering through life and you know you have purpose, and maybe there's purpose for like right now, and maybe there's purpose for over the lifetime, but what is our purpose? In a magazine, in Forbes magazine, November 2014, a university study says that knowing your purpose in life could help you live longer. So there is a significant reason why you should know your purpose. You can live longer, right? Of course, if you have no purpose, why would you want to live longer? But knowing your purpose lets you live longer. And today, I want to unpack. I want to give you some insight, hopefully, about knowing a little bit of your purpose. Well, there's two ways that I think that all mankind can have purpose. Number one is that all of mankind has purpose. We all have a certain responsibility, certain desire, certain reason for existing. And this is proven by the fact that all of us seek out answers to find this question. I cite two cases. One is Purpose-Driven Life. Do you guys remember that book? Chances are you still have a copy or two at home. Some of you may have even read the book. But 30 million copies of it was sold. It exploded internationally. People around the world of different cultures, different languages. Why? Because their innate discussion internally of why am I here, this purpose, desire to know. And if this book could help me find it, they bought it up by the dozen and shared it with friends and did it. If you did like us, we did Bible studies around this thing. Like, yes, we want to know. Does anybody remember what the five things we're supposed to be doing? You guys are looking at me going, there was five? Somebody remembers the opening line, it's not about me. We at least got to page one, which is a great place. If we get no further, We know that much. It's not about me. The purpose of life, all of mankind's purpose, is not about me. Which is interesting because the reverse of that is a secular approach to it. Many of you may be familiar with a guy by the name of Tony Robbins. You guys know Tony Robbins? He's this really tall, really energetic guy, always happy. He's has had an estimated 50 million people listen to or use his products on life's purpose. 50 million people. He travels the world, packs out stadiums, talks to thousands of them at a time. Why? Because people have this desire to know, and they think that he has the answer. And the answer is not about having great health or great wealth. The answer is that we were created for God. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For in him," speaking of Christ, "all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him," and this last part, "for him." What is the purpose of mankind? The purpose is whatever God deems it to be. All things. As we stare out into the vastness of space, as we stare into the eyes of our children, as we look out across the things of this earth, whether it's trees and nature, all of it created for God. Now, last week we talked about why do we need religion, and the reason for religion was to be a venue in order for us to bring into relationship with God. And I want to remind us of that, because part of the reason that I believe that God created man is for relationship. God began with it in the Garden of Eden. He was intimately friends with Adam and Eve. He went there and he walked with them in the garden. And I was asked this week, do you think that he actually walked? Yes. Why? Because the Bible said so. Amen. I don't know what he looked like. And maybe it was something like what Jesus did. You remember when Jesus was here on earth, he had a moment where he went into this up to this hill and he took some of his disciples and he peeled back his flesh and he let his glory show, and they were like freaked out about it. So maybe God put on like an earth suit. Maybe he looked like a human being. He came down and he walked and he talked with them and he was friends with them. That is, to me, one of the coolest things. God had created the entire universe. We could go all of our entire life and all of our kids' lives and their kids' lives and their kids' lives for multiple generations and travel to every star and every planet that's ever been created, and we still would not have enough time. And of all of those places, God said, you know what? There's this one little tiny planet, and there's one little garden, and there's these two little people. That's where I want to hang out. And we see at the very end of time in Revelation, that's exactly what he does again. He creates a new heaven, a new earth. He comes down and he's like, I just want to be with you guys. You're going to be with me and I'm going to be with you, and we're going to just hang out for all eternity. That's just his desire. He created all of these things for him. So how do we walk out this life like that? If we're all created for him, what does he want from us? Well, there's a lot of things that I could quote from the Bible we know that he wants from us. We have 10 commandments, we have laws, we have all these kind of rules and regulations, commandments that God gave us. But I want to give you one. Because if you're like me, if I can just have one, I can try on that one. If I can master that, I'll try to add a second one. So write down this, Micah 6:8. Many of us know this one, Micah 6:8. What does God require of man? What does he desire of man? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. But it sounds a lot like the Great Commandments, doesn't it? I want you to love me, vertical relationship, and love each other, horizontal. Love mercy and act justly. How do you interact with your fellow man? And then walk humbly with God. What does that remind us of? Him in the garden, him in Revelation. He wants to be with us. What is his joy? What is his joy? His joy is us. His joy is to be in relationship with him. What has he created all mankind to do? Love each other and love him. Man, if we could just do that, right? Is it hard? Amen, it's hard. It's difficult. But it is the very thing that I believe all mankind was created for. So if you ever want to know, like, what am I supposed to do? In general, generically speaking, this is it. Love God and love each other. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Love God and love each other. I'm not sure what I'm doing in December. You're going to love God and love each other. Well, if we just wake up every morning going, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah. Love God and love each other. And if that is the filter from which we choose to do all other activities, what a difference that would make. But here's the cool thing about God. There's a lot of cool things about God, but here's one of them. He doesn't just give us like this generic thing like, all men shall love each other and love me. Da-dum, and step back. I mean, that would have been enough, right? But he doesn't. Instead, he also gives us this. Every person has a purpose. Every person has a purpose. You and I individually have purpose. The New York Times had an article in May of 2014 entitled, Why You Hate Work. Great title, right? It's inspirational. Why You Hate Work. And what they found was this. After interviewing over 12,000 employees over a variety of different jobs and careers and activities, they found that employees who had purpose individually, not like, oh, we corporately have a mission statement, but individually, because God gave every mankind a mission statement, love God, love each other. That's the company motto. But each person, every person has a purpose, an individual job responsibility. Here's the thing what they found. Employees who had purpose were 3 times more likely to stay with the company. You're like, well, how does that apply to church? Have you ever known someone to leave church? Oh, well, they had the wrong colored lights. They had the wrong colored seats. They didn't have the right carpet. They didn't have the right music. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. I don't know why I'm even going, so I won't. But if you have purpose, if you know why you're there each Sunday, if you know why you're there at the church, if it's not this church, it's the church down the street, it's somewhere, a local body. Why? Because you individually have purpose. You are more likely to stay. That is why we're constantly creating opportunities for you to serve. Not because we're wanting you guys to be busy. You're already busy. We want you to be connected to the body of Christ. We want you to have opportunity to come and connect with other believers. And while it is wonderful to do that on Sunday morning, and it is wonderful to do that in a small group, there is something about it when you put hands and feet to motion and action and do something together, there's a special bond, isn't there? You have purpose. Like, oh, this is why we're together. The next thing they found, if a person had purpose, they were 170% higher job satisfaction. That's pretty good. That's more than 100%. if you can get somebody satisfied more than 100%, that's pretty good. That's why when the church says, we want you to serve, we want you to connect, we want you to do this. Why? It's not because we're selfish and we just want things done. We do this because we love you and we want you to have 170% satisfaction. And the person who also was going to have had purpose is 140% more engaged in what they were doing. 140%. If I could get 100% engagement during sermon time, I would be happy. But 140%? That might mean you take notes. I don't know. 140% engaged, connected. Every person needs to find their purpose. Think of it this way. Our job is to work for Christ, isn't it? We are to work for Christ. In John chapter 10, Jesus has this great discussion about him being the great shepherd, this loving shepherd, and us being, guess what? Sheep. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the sheep work for who? The shepherd. We work for the shepherd. We work for Christ. And he lays out this beautiful thing and says this at the very end of this discussion. He says that the thief comes to steal, but I, the loving, great shepherd, came to give these sheep life, and life just barely. You're like, Jason, you got the wrong translation. No, what does he say? Give them life more what? Abundant, to the full. If I could transliterate it, incorporate some of these statistics, I came to give them life where they are three times more likely to stay in my pen and not wander off. I want to give them a life where they're 170% satisfied with walking and working for me, and where they are 140% engaged. That's the kind of work environment Christ wants for us, because we are his sheep and we work for him. To give us life and life abundantly. Now, does that mean that we all get to drive the fanciest cars and live in the biggest homes? No. And I know it's cliche, but not everyone who lives in big homes and drives fancy cars are living abundant lives. Maybe he will bless you with those things. And if he does, please share. Especially if you have a pool. Because the youth are always looking for some place to go. We are always pursuing. 50 million people go and listen and pay thousands of dollars to hear Tony Robbins. And I'm not trying to put Tony down, but here's the thing. His whole thing is just to get them so that they have some kind of success in life, some happiness in life. And if you followed everything he did and you amass a great wealth and you die lost in the world in sin, you have gained nothing. Christ said, I came to give you a life abundant, one that means something, one that is awesome, that is amazing. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this. Paul confirms that we work for God. Paul says this. He says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do. Now you look up the word in the original language in Greek, guess what to do means? To do. You got to do stuff. It is work. It is action. You got to get off the couch here, spiritually speaking, and start doing some stuff. To do good works which God prepared in advance. In advance for us to do. Well, he wants you to do something for him. Again, not because he just wants to make us busy, but because he loves us. And he knows that if we just were told to do something and we had no reason for doing it, we will literally go crazy. If you gave somebody a shovel and said, dig a hole, why? Just dig the hole. They may dig the hole, but after a while, they're like, why am I digging the hole? Now that you said, hey, here's a shovel, dig the hole. Why? Because those guys over there are lobbing grenades at us and we need a hole to hide in. They will dig the hole. They have purpose. Same action, different reason. Guys, we are in a life of struggle and wrestling with good and evil. When he says dig a hole, we better dig the hole. Now, I know sometimes as parents, I'm guilty of this. Son, daughter, do this. Why? Because I said so. Why do we do that? Because we're lazy? Or we're not good parents? No, most of the time it's because there's like this two-hour explanation of me understanding the facets of multiple things going on in this world, in my life, and in our current situation, and right now I just need you to get in the car. Because I said so. And sometimes God does that with us. Do this. Why? Just do it. Okay. And then maybe later we'll find out. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. The great faith chapter. He says that all these people were faithful to him, even though they didn't see the conclusion to it. It's not until now, meaning in the New Testament, that we see Christ. Now is fulfilled and it makes sense. So all those guys, Abraham, Moses, David, all these guys in the Old Testament, they were just kind of like, why? Just do it. Okay. And it was counted to them as righteousness. There are specific individuals that God did things. Not listing off every one of them, but just a couple of them that come to mind. Adam. Adam, here's your job. You need to name the animals. You need to tend to this sheep. You need to tend to this garden. You need to protect your wife. Oops, you didn't do that one. Abraham. You need to be the father of a nation. You need to be faithful. You need to follow me. You need to obey. Oh, you tried to have a baby with Hagar? Oops, you messed up too. All right, Moses. Moses, one day you will lead a nation and you will free the Israelites. Oh, you went and killed an Egyptian trying to do that? Not the right thing to do. Oops, you messed up, but I still use you. Noah, I will save all of mankind through your family. I need you to build an ark. He builds the ark. Joseph, David, Esther, where we get the famous line that we all probably love. You know, for such a time as this, you were created. You, Esther, in this moment, at this time, out of all the places and all the times you could have been born, of all the women, you are right here to take this moment, to capture it, to save my people. You don't think God does specific life purposes? Imagine all of the people, all the things that had to go on so that of all the generations, Esther's mom and dad met together at the right day, the right time, so they conceived her, gave birth to her, so that she then entered into a place where she was in the king's presence. Simultaneously, God has manipulated all of mankind and all of history and all of the social, economic situations and political situations of the ancient time so that the right king was in the right place so that he would fall in love with Esther. You don't think God has purpose for you? Romans 12:2. How do we find this purpose? Paul writes this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove God's will for you, his good and perfect will. How do you know? How do we know? If we believe that God has something for us specifically to do, how will we know? Now look, some of us may be like David's and Noah's and Joseph's and these major things, changing the course of history kind of events. I don't know. But you know, there's other guys that we read about and other women that we read in the Bible, and they do some simple things. Remember the little boy that has some fish and loaves? Him. I don't know if he woke up that morning and God's like, take fish and loaves today. I don't know. But maybe he did. But he was born for just such a time as this. When Jesus is walking along with his disciples and they see a blind man, they said, why was he born blind? Was it him or his parents that sinned? And Jesus says, neither. He happens to be at this corner at this day so you and I could have this conversation, so I could do this. Hey, guess what? You can see. And he did. Glory to God. There it testifies, I am the Son of the living God. The woman at the well. The woman who comes in and brings alabaster and anoints Christ's feet. Who is mocked. And Jesus says, for as long as my story is told, she will be remembered. See, God has purpose. Some of them are grand, earth-shattering, history-changing moments. Other of them, then, is just in this one moment, I want you to love Jesus. And God's saying with the story of this lady, I will always remember that. And so will others. Maybe our purpose is to bring fish and loaves one day. Maybe it is to just love on Jesus one day. And how do we love on Jesus? Because he's not here, but his representatives are. There's a room full of them in here. And maybe one day you'll be loving on one of these people in this room, and it's like, God's like, I see that. That's why you're here. In this day, in this moment, in that crisis, you were here to love on my child. Paul walked around and changed the whole face of religion. He brought down the Roman Empire by bringing Christ and changing, flipping the whole social economic thoughts of the way that we approach religion. But he did it because there was a guy named Barnabas who walked along with him. And guys named like Timothy. So some of us may be Timothy, some of us may be Barnabas, some of us may be the guys who walk along, the guys who are doing great things. And are we okay with that? But whether it's all of mankind or if it's us specifically, this is the one thing I do know, is that we are to glorify God. That is our purpose. No matter what the specific job that we are called to do, whether it is changing the course of history, whether it's loving on Christ, whether it's bringing fish and loaves to a friend, we do it to bring glory to God. 1 Peter 4:11 says this, if anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, how does our good deeds glorify God? Because we are Christ on earth. We are his hands and feet. We talk about this a lot, don't we? We're the body of Christ, and what we do reflects on him. And when we bring glory and praise to Christ, Christ then takes it and lays at his Father's feet and brings glory and praise to his Father. That is why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were created for good works, because those works produce glory, and that glory is given to Christ, which he then turns around and gives to his Father. All things, Peter's writing here, if you speak, do it for God. If you serve, do it for God. If you cook, if you clean, if you humble yourself, whatever it may be, you do it for God, because it brings glory to the body and therefore it brings glory to him. Now, I want to leave you with an action step. Because a lot of this is great, a lot of great thought. We love God, we love each other. All mankind, what are we going to do tomorrow? Love God, love each other, right? You're like, but how specifically am I designed to do this? I'm not sure. I wish I could take you to inside the Bible and I could tell you over in 2 Opinions 13:9 that it tells you exactly what you are supposed to do. Gosh, that would be great, wouldn't it? In the book of Jason, chapter 12, you shall do this. You're like, oh, thank gosh, I was wondering what it was. The only way we get to know that is, first of all, as we read earlier, we have to draw close to God. We have to transform our mind. We need to quit thinking like the world does, start thinking like he does. then we will know his will, his good and perfect will. But I want to give you something very specific and a very actual tangible thing. Many of us are familiar with spiritual gifts, surveys, or tests. These are not perfect, and it's not going to like map out your life. I don't want to give it more credit than it is. It is simply a tool to help you determine what are the things that God has equipped you to do. Now, you heard me say last week that we're going to start on the first Wednesdays, we're going to start having a family gathering. And we're going to do that on which Wednesdays of the month? On the first. See, that's so easy. On first Wednesdays, we're going to meet. So June 7th is the first time we're going to do that. We're going to meet together for some fellowship, some food, some praise, some prayer, and then we're going to do a short devotional time. And what I want to do for our devotional time is I want to bring copies of a spiritual gifts test. And if you want to be there that night, we are going to walk through the spiritual gifts test. It's a series of questions, not very long, takes a few minutes to fill out, and we want to start unpacking what you individually were made to do. But if you are those kind of type A people, like I mentioned earlier, that want to get things done, like even before they're supposed to get done, and I know that there's some out there, you can actually go online to our website, and you go under the volunteer tab, and there's a link to the spiritual gifts test. So you can download it and print it off, and you could come that night with yours already filled out and evaluate it. Because I know you want to do that. For the rest of you who are like me, we're going to wait till that night. I will have copies, and we'll do it. But why do we want to do that? Just so that we can plug you in and go, hey, we need more. I'm going to just tell you right now. I'm going to give you the heads up that if you do your spiritual gifts test, not everyone who does one is going to be a perfect fit for children's ministry. That's the fear, right? I'm going to do this test, and they're going to tell me that I should be in children's ministry. I know some of you, that's your fear. Or it's going to say, I should be an ambassador to, like, you know, China. No. Here's what it's going to do. Here's what I promise you. We are going to look at what you were made to do. And if it is children's ministry and you're not doing it, I guarantee you, we will bug you. No, I mean, we will encourage you to live out how God has shaped you. But if your gift is teaching, then we want to create opportunities for you to teach. If it's singing, we want to create opportunities for you to sing or play or whatever it is that God has. And it may not be inside these four walls. Your giftedness, now this isn't going to probably set well with some of us. There are some of you who are gifted at making money. God has just blessed you with the ability to see opportunity, take advantage of it, and create resources. And if it's someplace outside the four walls, here's the thing. God has been doing that, and we see it time and time again. It's okay. Abraham, others, throughout the Bible, created wealth. But they didn't do it for themselves. They did it so that they may increase everyone around them and help everyone. And that may be your giftedness. But whatever your giftedness is, we want you to know that as sheep of God, He came to give you life abundant. And we want you to be 300% satisfied with what you're doing and 140% engaged. We want you over the top, engaged and satisfied and abundant. Like, I just love church. I love working for Jesus. It's not like, oh my gosh, it's Tuesday night and I got to go to that meeting. No, we want you to be passionate about loving Jesus and working for Him. Because God created us to be in relationship with Him. And He loves to be in relationship with us by doing stuff. So Wednesday night, okay, I can remember that. Wednesday night, June 7th, we're going to meet. We're going to go through our spiritual guest test. If you've never done one, I encourage you to come and do that. If you want to, like I said, be the overachiever, go ahead and print it off. Or you can't be there on the Wednesday night, go ahead and print it off on our website under volunteer tab. There's a link to it. Take a look at it. Why? Because God made you to be you. And at New Hope, we want to help you do that to the best of your ability. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful that you created us individually, specifically for a purpose. God, help us to remember that all of it, whatever it is, whether we speak or serve or do, We do it to bring glory to you. It's not to increase us, not to glorify our kingdom, but to glorify yours. So God, right now, I just pray that you would just help each and every person in this room. If they do not already know, help them to find out what it is, that one thing, what is that thing that they do that just warms your heart, that brings a smile to your face, that brings joy to your life. God, that thing that you created them to be. And help us to do it with glad hearts and eager minds. It's in your name we pray. Amen.